Neil Bortz radio show. We are feverishly trying to reach James Bovard right now. He's one of my... He wrote a book. Gosh, I don't even remember what year he came out with this book. It was many moons ago. It was back in the 1990s. And it was called Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty. What an incredible book that was. It sits on my desk almost day after day after day. And I use it constantly on the program. And let's see, it was actually, the book is 12 years old now. Oh, gosh, I hate running into information like that.
Well, I'm just curious.
It's 12 years old.
You said there was a chapter in there that bothered you.
No, that's his new book that we were going to talk about today. And if we can find him, Royal, are we having any luck finding? Okay. Well, then I'll save it until we get... It's called Attention Deficit Democracy by James Bovard. And it's his new book. And once again, it contains some incredible information. As a matter of fact, we're going to put James Bovard... We're going to put him on the line right now. James, uh-oh. We lost him, Royal. Did I do something wrong?
Yeah,
you know what? You punched him up, and then I tried to punch him up at the same time.
Yes.
And two punch-ups at the same time equaled a KO.
Yes.
So we both hit him at the same time and knocked his butt out. But
we're dialing him back.
We're dialing him back right now. Well, this is part of the problem that happens when Belinda and I are out here in San Francisco, and Royal and Christina are back there in Atlanta, and where Belinda and I get gorgeous views of the... Can you see the Golden Gate from your room?
No, I see a beautiful parking deck.
You see a parking deck. We have the Bay Bridge.
Oh, how nice. Yeah. Can I come take a view out of your room?
You take a what out of my room?
Take a view. Look at the view.
Oh, sure. Okay. We have James Bovard. He's back. He's on the line. How you doing, James?
No, you want to punch him up or you want me to get
him? No, you punch him. I got him. Okay, I just put him on the line. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, we're trying to figure out my phones here, James. How are you?
Doing fine. How's San Francisco?
Well, it was the Gay Pride celebration over the weekend, so I was in Napa.
Oh, good. Well, I'm just glad you're not sore from the. Well, okay.
Careful, James. leave those lines to me, if you would.
All right.
Now, you and I have talked before. I mean, I was just telling people a while ago, your book, Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty, I mean, that's an absolute class. How many millions of copies of that did you sell?
Less than a million. How about that?
Oh, come on. That one should have made you rich.
Just a poor country boy. That's all it is. No, it's sold very well. And it's thanks to folks like you and other talk show hosts and some folks who've talked it up. It's really made a big difference. And I really appreciate the folks that still talk about it.
Well, anytime you walk into my home back in Atlanta, I just make a bet with people. If you walk into my home, you say, where's your office? I'll say it's over there. You walk into my office and your book is always on my desk. I can always count on your book for some material that I can use just to tweak people and really get them going on any given day.
That's great. Thanks so much.
I want you to tell us about Attention Deficit Democracy. It is your newest book. And then, guess what, James? I am going to chastise you on a few issues, but go ahead.
Good.
Tell us about the book first of all.
Okay, the folks have been taught that the American system, that the American democracy, is almost works in automatic pilot. It isn't. It's working very badly. The system is going out of control, and it's not just the last 6 or 7 years, but politicians have been seizing way too much power. They've been telling way too many lies. The government has shown such open contempt for the Constitution. Citizens are paying little attention to what the government's going on. That's made them more vulnerable to government lies. We saw this in Clinton. We see it now. And thanks to all these factors, the government is off the leash. And the Founding Fathers' vision of self-government was that the government would always be on a leash, that the people would have the courage to stand up for their rights and liberties, and that people could challenge the government and not be afraid of the government. But there's been so much fear-mongering going back a long ways. FDR did a lot of pioneering of this, and a lot of those precedents have expanded. And at this point, the government has almost boundless power, and the courts are doing a terrible job of upholding individual rights.
There are some bright lights when it comes to the courts every once in a while.
I agree.
Where they come in and actually invoke the 10th Amendment. Imagine that.
Well, that's true, and sometimes they even stand up for the Second Amendment. The D.C. Appeals Court, I guess, recently came out and said that the Second Amendment did guarantee individuals' rights to own firearms in the District of Columbia. That was a great decision. There have been some great decisions in the Fourth Amendment. But it seems as if that the government is, the federal level anyhow, is showing more and more open disdain for court decisions, and they are not binding the government. And a fundamental failure of the rule of law, especially in recent years, is there's no way for citizens to make the government obey the law. So that the larger the government becomes, the more oppressed people will be.
Now, picky number one at your book, and that is the use of the word democracy.
Okay, that's a fair criticism. That was not a term that was widely used in the founding era. They were much more concerned with establishing a republic, and that's in some ways a better model. And I discussed that some in the final chapter. I mean, there are pros and cons to using democracy, but it's become the parlance of the day. It's unfortunate because there's this notion that this automatic pilot version of government, that the government's automatically going to follow the will of the people because it's a democracy. But it's far more important that it's a government than that it's a democracy. Governments are always going to be untrustworthy.
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that bothers me about the word democracy. The use of the word democracy enables an overbearing government, because the government can always claim that, well, we're just doing what the majority of the people want us to do, just completely ignoring the concept of the rule of law, which is what we're supposed to have going on around here.
Right, and you know, it'd be a lot better to talk about representative government, because that's a phrase that is much less likely to induce mass delusions. Whereas if you talk about democracy, folks have this idea that it's just, you know, that it's going to work per se. It's myths about democracy that are making Americans unfit for self-government.
Now, there's one more thing, and I don't want to dwell on this, but as I started reading your book, and now I'm out in San Francisco, and your book is back there in Atlanta, that will not hamper us much. But when I started reading your book, I'll tell you the truth. If I had not read some of your previous books, especially Lost Rights, which I consider to be a classic, then I would have gotten into the first few chapters and I would have said, wait a minute, this guy is some left-wing lunatic just out to bash George Bush. And I might not have gone any further, because you really get on George Bush's case really hard in the opening chapters of this book.
Right. Well, I mean, but, you know, I hope you make it to some other chapters, because I've
absolutely. But I wanted to get past that first.
Okay. I think the last time you had me on your show was in October of 2000, just after a book I did calling Feeling Your Pain, The Explosion and Abuse of Government Power in the Clinton-Gore Years came out. And I was very critical for Bill Clinton for a lot of the same reasons I'm critical of George Bush for. Now, Clinton was a demagogue. Clinton violated the Constitution. Clinton's war against Serbia was a complete travesty. And unfortunately...
And didn't do us any good at all, by the way.
Absolutely.
We certainly didn't get any brownie points with Muslims off of that one.
Right, and it was an obscene for us to be bombing Belgrade. I mean, there was never any justification for America to intervene in Kosovo. But I have a lot of the same concerns with George Bush that I have with Bill Clinton. And it's, you know, there are more similarities with Bush and Clinton than most people, most liberals and conservatives would like to admit. And part of my concern now in the last years of the Bush administration is a lot of people think that all we have to do is get rid of George Bush and then we'll have good government in this country.
Oh, yeah, right.
And that's absurd because there are all these precedents that have been established. And the next president, be it Giuliani or Obama or Hillary Clinton, these folks are going to expand upon the precedents that George Bush established.
Well, James, there's in today's USA Today, you look at the Life section. There are two things on the front page of the Life section that are going to mean a lot more to most Americans than anything that is going to happen in Washington, D.C. today. Number one, we find out in San Diego, Dallas, Omaha, Atlanta, Charleston, Miami, and Philadelphia where the next American Idol auditions are going to be. And then at the bottom of the page, we find out what the hottest spring concert tours are this year.
Oh, really? Damn, yeah. I should buy that paper.
Oh, yeah. This is the news that Americans absorb and talk about. But the immigration bill, the global, I mean, all of the usurpation of the power of state governments and of private individuals by Washington, these go unnoticed. Not only have we lost control of our government, as you point out in your book, but most people don't care.
Yeah, it's very frustrating because the average person knows so little, and that's made them more pliable by politicians of both parties. And this is a long-term trend. I mean, government has acquired far more power at the time where people have not, you know, done a comparative build-up of their defenses against government politicians. And folks, you know, folks are obsessed with American Idol and don't care about what's happening, in Washington or elsewhere. I mean, there's so many abuses ongoing that have been going on for a long time, and, you know, it's folks are rolling over for it.
Unbelievable. Okay, James Bovard, the book is Attention Deficit Democracy. It's out in paperback, folks. Yeah, I mean, if you care, you need to read it. James, hang on. I want to get you through another segment here, okay?
Thanks.
We'll be back, folks. You're listening to Bortz. You know, we have our government outrage segment here on the Neil Bortz Show. You want government outrages? James Bovard knows government outrages. Stay there. Okay, we're back. More of the Neil Bortz show. James Bovard is with us. He's on the line right now. Just punch the button, get him back. James, I have something else in USA Today that is going to be much more important to the American public than anything that's happening in Washington.
Well, I'm on the edge of my chair.
Yeah, there's also a little thing on the front page here. Live celebrity gossip on your cell phone. Send a text. You know, isn't that amazing that the American people would be far more likely to dial up for some live celebrity gossip on their cell phone than for the latest of what the government is doing to them from Washington?
Well, you know, it's really sad that people have forgotten that government is a threat to them. It doesn't matter if it's Democratic or otherwise. The government has way too much power, and eventually it's going to put a lot of innocent citizens in the crosshairs. People have been taught to trust the government, and that's been a Pandora's box when so many evils have come from.
Now, you classify yourself as a libertarian?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, I came up with an idea. I'm not trying to make this about me, but I just want to see a presidential candidate run for office on the basis, or partially on the basis of a 10th Amendment commission. If I am elected, I will appoint a commission of government and business leaders to form a 10th Amendment commission to investigate and find ways to return the 10th Amendment to our Constitution to dominance. You like the idea?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a good idea. The thing I'd also like to see is prosecutions of all the federal officials who are violating the other amendments right now.
Let's get to something that's very contemporary. I don't know if you've... and that is Dick Cheney and presidential orders. Is Dick Cheney, in your research, in your mind, is he a member of the executive branch of government?
Well, you know, back in 2002, when Cheney was fighting a Sierra Club lawsuit to get his access to his Energy Task Force records, Cheney claimed executive privilege as a way to avoid giving out those records,
which is only available to the executive department.
Right, and so this is a very bizarre argument that Cheney's folks are making. I mean, it's just, this is typical of how government makes, you know, any absurd claim is good enough for the government to just kind of keep holding on to the power or keep secrecy. I mean, Americans should be very concerned about how the government's become so much secretive over the last 15 years.
But last week, I don't have it with me because I've left this research back home. We looked into several books on the vice presidency and came up with an answer that he is neither a member of the executive department nor the legislative department. He is sort of an entity kind of out there floating around on his own.
And so is there any law he's obliged to obey?
Well, I would say that if he is not a member of the executive department, then you could make an argument that he is not subject to executive orders. But other than that, I would certainly say that he is subject to the rest of the laws of this country.
But to say that he's not, well, I mean, Bush issued this order in, I guess, was it March or April 2003? And it was clear from that order then that it applied to both Bush and Cheney. And now they're, I guess Dana, what's her name, was kind of hemming and hawing. Well, that wasn't really his intent, so on and so forth last week, the White House spokeslady. There have been so many almost comical arguments we've heard over the last few years on why this or that law doesn't apply. The Washington Post has got another long story on Cheney today in the front page and talking about the role of Cheney in pushing rules for interrogation that most of the rest of the world consider to be torture. There were a lot of arguments on why the War Crimes Act or this law didn't apply, but if you look at most of their arguments in the cold daylight, I shake my head ruefully.
Now, Americans have lost control of their government. You make suggestions in the book, in the time we have left, which is not much, about a minute less. What is the most important thing that the American people can do right now to start reasserting their control over the imperial federal government of the United States?
Americans need to get better informed about the atrocities, the abuses the federal government is carrying out at home and abroad in their own name. People need to stand up to the politicians. They need to stand up to the government employees. People need to realize that they have rights, that they are not subjects. People need to put politicians back on their heels, politicians of both parties, and folks need to have the pride of being a free citizen that Americans had in the founding era.
Amen. Attention Deficit Democracy, out in paperback right now. The book is by James Bovar. James, thanks for taking some time to be on the air with us today. Appreciate
it. Thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, bud. That's bye-bye to James Bovar. Also, get that book.